Picture this. Every employee is on time, safe in the comfort of a drug-free workplace, and operating at the peak of performance under industry-best hiring practices. Sound like a utopia? It isn't. It's your workplace, and it's possible. You're about to learn how. Welcome to your new utopia. Welcome to Successful Hire.
Hello, Podcast Land! Yeah.
Hey, Dan.
Hi. I'm Dan Oblinger.
And I'm Troy Trussell.
And I'm Todd Sutcliffe.
It's the trifecta today, folks. All three. Same room, same podcast, coming to you from our mouth straight to your ears.
That's correct.
What are we going to talk about today, Troy?
We're going to talk about naked background checks.
Or as Troy, you normally would say, naked.
I would normally say naked, because I'm from the South, and that's how we speak.
Why are we talking about naked background
checks? I don't know. I'm a little concerned. Will you guys please tell me what we're talking about today?
Naked background checks.
Okay.
We're talking about
a little more detail.
Naked background checks.
We do not do naked background checks here.
That's correct.
Naked background checks is not people sitting around at their desk naked while they're doing background screening. That is not what we're talking
about.
Just
like a naked bootleg in football, the quarterback's not actually disrobed. So what it means is when the quarterback takes the snap on a naked bootleg, he rolls out and there's no protection. He's all by himself and he's going to try to make a play. And sometimes it works out spectacularly and everything's great. But when a naked bootleg goes wrong,
I bet it's bad.
Yeah, it's spectacularly bad. I got thinking, Troy and I came up with this term. He didn't realize it, but he did. Is that when people roll out of the pocket doing their own background checks without a third party that's trusted, without complying with FCRA or any of the other guidelines out there, you're naked. There's no protection. You're doing a naked background check. And it could work. Maybe you just find the right person and the wrong people that you trample on their rights in the process, they don't sue you. But when it doesn't work out, when a naked background check goes bad, it's spectacularly bad.
What an analogy. What a picture.
Yeah, us doing naked background checks never would happen.
Never would happen.
Trust me, folks, you wouldn't want to see that.
So you see it now, though, Todd, right?
I do. Thank you. Thank you for putting the picture together. It wasn't a good picture before, but now it makes sense. I understand.
Now that you don't picture us running around the office naked, everything's fine.
So, Todd, why should other people use a third party instead of just Googling up, hey, John Doe wants to work here. Let's Google him. Let's see what's going
on. What's the danger?
You might see someone naked, and that would be a Title VII. I'm sure it would be against Title VII, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You would
definitely know their gender.
You would know their gender. Yes.
And their race.
Probably their age
and
race.
Ethnicity.
Yes.
Todd, in our analogy,
yes.
The quarterback wants protection. And in our industry, the protection comes from a CRA.
Right. So in your analogy, the quarterback wants protection. The quarterback, in our analogy, is our client.
Mm-hmm.
So who is doing the background check. They need protection. There are so many defensive people out there being defensive. The EEOC, the FCRA, the FTC, the DHS, ICE. They've got a full line coming after the employers.
NLRB. Another one.
Man, there are a ton of defensive players out there pursuing employers. So they need a good line. They need a good offensive line who's going to stand in front and take the hits for them, who's going to make sure that the play is scripted out, that they know what direction they're going to provide the protection for the employer when they're making the hiring decision. So a good CRA, Dan, is going to stand out in front. They're going to be fully clothed in their pads, their helmets, shoulder pads. They're going to be providing the compliance that's needed, making sure that the employers know what they need to do to comply. Little things like last week, Domino's Pizza had a class action lawsuit filed against them. Why? They weren't following the Fair Credit Reporting Act. They weren't doing the proper pre-adverse action. And here's the big part. They were using an out-of-date form. Earlier this year, the Summary of Your Rights form was changed. So no longer is the FTC the authority over it. Now it's the new Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the CFPB. By not having the right form in place, playing naked, right, out there on their own, class action lawsuit. That's going to be a lot of money for them.
Boom. That just happened.
That did.
Wasn't pretty. Like that quarterback out there on their own, laid out.
So to summarize, have partners that can protect you when you're making a critical play, like making a hire. So naked background checks, not a good idea. And yet, and you'll agree, Todd, we still see a bunch of people out there in the employment world still doing that.
We want our clients to have that full line of protection.
Yes. Good protective scheme that's compliant with FCRA, FTC, NLRB, all the different guidances and guidelines that are out there. And really, the only way you do that in the with the state of the industry, both for hiring and for pre-employment screening, is to have a CRA, credit reporting agency, that is professionally run and is fully compliant. And the National Screening Bureau would be an example of one of those kinds of agencies.
Well said, Dan.
So a good CRA would have a system that they utilize to do these background checks, and that leads us to in the queue. So let's check that system. The
queue. Todd, what do you got in store for us today?
Well, today, Dan, we're going to talk about some naked charges.
Whoa!
Actually, I don't know if they were naked or not, but blackmail, dissemination of images, photos, videotape, or film. That's one that came across last week in the queue.
So blackmail means that you are holding something over someone else, perhaps distasteful images.
Perhaps.
Perhaps.
Distasteful video.
Perhaps distasteful business dealings. It's anything that can be damaging, and you are asking for money or favors or something of value in return to not disseminate that.
Right.
That didn't sound good at all. Let's think about how that might impact somebody's ability to perform their job duties.
I'm sure you want an office full of employees who are going to blackmail each other or the company, taking personal information, threatening to disseminate that into the public, trade secrets.
So when we talk about the EEOC compliance issues, we're going to talk about job necessity or business necessity.
Right.
We're going to tie that to anybody that works in a team, blackmail would be an issue. Anybody that handles information that's valuable, I think it would be incompatible with a blackmail charge and conviction because the person has demonstrated an inability to respect other people's privacy, other people's sovereignty.
Right.
So yeah. So no hire on that. It is going to be incompatible, right? It is a disqualifier.
If you don't have blackmail on your matrix, your EEOC compliance matrix.
Or at least don't know where it would fit and what kind of job duties it would impact.
Then might you be better a good time get, to better go get look with at it.
Because it's coming across the queue. People are picking up those convictions.
We've seen it more than once.
Blackmail's not just in a noir novel. It's out there. It's real. People are getting convictions. So think about how it would impact your job out there in podcast land. Which brings us to...
The Criminal Mind.
What do you have for us in The Criminal Mind, Dan?
There's been a robbery!
A robbery? I actually saw you on the news.
Yes. There's been a shooting.
Who got shot?
I can't say. But I can tell you this. I worked a shooting here over the weekend, and a gentleman got shot. Won't say his name, won't say where, won't say why or how. But it's interesting to note, Todd, would you think it's pretty serious when you shoot somebody?
Yeah.
What if you stab somebody?
Yes.
Yeah? What if you, like, strangle somebody, they almost die?
You serious?
Yeah. Yes. With a rope or something.
Right.
Right.
Or a gun or a knife.
Uh-huh. Right, right.
Right.
Okay. What if I'm arguing with you, and I'm holding a stick, and I tap you with it in the shoulder?
I'll probably tap you back.
Okay. All of those would be aggravated battery.
What?
Yep. There's two paths to get to a conviction for aggravated battery. There's intentionally causing great or grievous or serious, depending on the state, bodily harm with a deadly weapon. There's a fine line there between that charge, that side of it, and maybe like an attempt murder charge. A lot of bigger jurisdictions won't want to do the attempt murder charge because you have to prove that the suspect intended to kill. And sometimes it's hard to prove. So they may default or fall back on an ag battery. So a serious shooter, I can shoot you 5-6 times. It might just be an aggravated battery, depending on the jurisdiction you're charged in. The other path to get it is simply causing physical contact when done in a rude and insolent or angry manner,
mm-hmm,
using a deadly weapon. So if I tap you with a gun or tap you with a knife or tap you with a stick or blunt object, that would also be aggravated battery. So there's a wide range of behaviors on the background check when it comes back, depending on how much information they put in about the subsection that was charged. It could look the same. They're both going to say aggravated battery because that's what it is. But again, wide range of behaviors that fall under that one umbrella. That's the advantage of getting as much information as you can in your background check, having a good CRA, which we talked about earlier, that can interpret the information for you, find that right subsection, and know what severity level it was charged as. And that's why it's really important also to do that follow-up that the EEOC recommends, to get more information from the applicant about their criminal past.
The individualized assessment.
That's right. In order to place them properly on your matrix or your analysis sheet for whether they can do certain jobs in your organization. So again, just because it says one thing doesn't mean that it's one behavior that they did. A lot of these crimes capture multiple behaviors, multiple levels of severity all under one heading, like aggravated battery.
So what you're saying is sometimes it can be something very minimal, but that same charge can also mean very negative, very violent also.
Too. It's a range.
So it is
some
a
of the
range.
Ranges are very broad, and you can fall in the extremes on either side of it.
And both of those being moderate or violent, they would both be a felony.
Yes. So. Yep. Both be a felony. It's going to look almost the same on the background check. So it's important to really look at the details and not gloss over those details, like the subsection numbers or maybe the sub. Sometimes they have the subdescriptions. So it might be aggravated battery, intentional contact, or it might be aggravated battery, grievous harm. I mean, you have to look at those descriptions. You can't just say, oh, aggravated battery, boom. For all intents and purposes, it might be they're both disqualifiers. But you want to know those behaviors when you do that individualized assessment. That's why that process exists with the new EEOC guidelines.
Very good. And that's why we're talking about it here today, because there are so many variables in the system out there. I know we don't know them all here, and I'm guessing that our clients don't all understand them all either. So that's our job, is to bring the answers to you out in podcast land.
That's right, because we don't want you running around naked, so to speak.
So to speak.
Troy?
That's all we have for today.
That's it?
That's all.
Can we do more?
Next week. Come back.
I will hold you to that. And with that in mind, I'm Dan Oblinger.
I'm Troy Trussell.
And I'm Todd Sutcliffe.
And this is Successful Hire.
Thank you for listening to the Successful Hire podcast. For more information, please visit our website at www.natsb.com or email us at info@natsb.com.